we're raised to not be quitters. And, you know, an entrepreneur, like, you are driven to reach your goals and kind of do whatever it takes. And to break through that, and this is going to sound really unhelpful because it was unhelpful when, you know, this is, you know, what my person told me was, you have to surrender. And I thought that surrendering meant giving up or quitting, which was like went against every fiber of my being. But what it actually was that I had to surrender to the fact that maybe the way I was running my business was not feasible. Like it was not what I needed to be doing, and that it could be easier.
This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As a naturopathic doctor and anthropologist, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people exactly like you. Your business, body, balance, and inner badass. These are the themes we are exploring. So today's episode is meant to serve as a bit of a wake-up call. So obviously, if you've been hanging out with us for any extended period of time, you know that I really love business, but I lead from a place of health. My guest today is a business strategist and coach who really is talking about your business as the root cause of what is going wrong in your health. Holly Chantel is a strategist who helps people take their business to the next level. But what she also has an incredible lens and capacity to do is understand where your business itself is wearing you out. You're going to see that this is actually a theme in the next several podcasts. Not that you need to scale back, not that you can't dream big, but that there are strategies and techniques and opportunities to shift how you are doing it, how you are placing your business and your work out into the world. Not when you are first starting out, but once you find a little bit of your flow, it should get easier. If it is not becoming more simple for you, if it is not creating more ease in your life, the growth of your business, then consider this an opportunity to shift perspective. We're not telling you to slow down. We're not telling you to go back to your day job. What we are doing for you is channeling a message from the universe that says maybe there's an opportunity to change how it's done. Holly Chantel has an incredible amount of wisdom. I'm super excited to have her here with us today. It is my pleasure to introduce you to her now. Holly Chantel, welcome to the Entrepology Podcast.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Well, we have a lot to cover, and you've got some really interesting perspectives as it pertains to business. But can we give everyone a bit of a background before we go there in terms of your own journey and why it is that you're doing the work that you are doing now?
Yeah, so I've worked with coaches and online service professionals for 10 years now, and I got my start actually doing website design. That was kind of how I got my into marketing coaching and that kind of thing. And what I found was that business owners really didn't know what to ask for when they were putting together their website and their offers and their, you know, lead magnets and all the things that go into your online marketing strategy. And so I started helping my clients kind of iron out those things first before we actually even got to the website design process. And that's kind of where I've developed my skills to what I do now, which I'll mention in a second, but develop my skills of, you know, copywriting and, you know, managing multiple projects at once and helping people really hone in on what it is they do and how they communicate it. So fast forward, you know, 10 years, and now what I'm doing is I'm really helping business owners that have reached a point where they've reached a plateau in their business. They're usually stuck, you know, the $10,000 to $15,000 a month mark, and they're not feeling as satisfied with what they're doing, and they're not really sure what comes next. So they might have been getting their business from referrals up until now, and they want to start doing it online, but they're not. For some reason, it's not landing, or their business is plateaued, like their revenue is starting to decline, and they've actually outgrown it, and they're not sure how to pivot into a new direction with all the complexity they have going on in their business, and not cannibalize what actually is successful. So it's a much more complex process now that I work through with my clients, because they're in just a much more complex place in their business than when they were starting.
Well, and I think you describe a situation a lot of people can relate to, because it feels like all of a sudden there's so many things going on, and they all may be driving a little bit of that that revenue. And when you are in it, it's really difficult mm-hmm. to be able to strategically understand where you need to spend your time. Are there some common features that you see going on in people's lives in general as their business is also hitting that plateau, or we sometimes call it a ceiling of complexity, or whatever terminology mm-hmm. you want to use?
Yeah, so definitely it affects both business and personal. And I can kind of tell you from my perspective what happened to me and how I got into this part, how I got into doing this, what I do versus websites, is my personal life had changed. I went from being single to married to having kids. And that level of complexity completely changed how I needed to be running my business. However, I was still functioning like, you know, the single 20-something-year-old, even though I only had 25 hours instead of 60 hours to do all of my work. And I basically ran myself into the ground. I had some pretty serious health issues. I had pretty severe depression that was due to, you know, nutritional deficiencies and from two rough pregnancies. Like, there was just kind of like everything that could go wrong was going wrong. And I remember my lowest point was sitting on the floor with my kids, and one was three, one was, I think he was one. And I actually thought to myself, I don't want to be here anymore. And that was like my wake up call that something really needed to change. So what actually needed to change was how I was running my business. I know it doesn't seem like that would like be as relevant, but it was, because that was where all the stress was coming from.
Right.
You know, I loved my kids. I loved my life. I was, you know, quote unquote, successful from an outside perspective. But I was running myself into the ground, and that was what had to give. And that was my upper limit. And boy, did I fight it.
Yeah, because we have so many stories we tell ourselves about why we're doing it. Well, I'm supporting my family, or like I'm almost at that next level, or if I stop any of these things, I'll lose my momentum or I'll lose my income. How did you break through that?
Yeah, so to kind of what you're saying, we're raised to not be quitters. And, you know, an entrepreneur, like, you are driven to reach your goals and kind of do whatever it takes. And to break through that, and this is going to sound really unhelpful, because it was unhelpful when this is, you know, what my person told me, was you have to surrender. And I thought that surrendering meant giving up or quitting, which was like went against every fiber of my being. But what it actually was that I had to surrender to the fact that maybe the way I was running my business was not feasible. Like, it was not what I needed to be doing, and that it could be easier. And that was my breakthrough, where I just realized that things did not have to be this way. They could be easier. And in fact, I had been ignoring what I'd been being called to do, because I just kept looking for stability, and I couldn't let go of the goals that I had originally set for myself, because I didn't want to give up on them. But once I took a step back and kind of surrendered to, okay, maybe the original vision you had when you were 24 for your business, and now you're, you know, 30 something, maybe you could change. Maybe you could change those goals, because your life is completely different now. You did not know all the personal growth that you'd go through. You didn't know what your lifestyle was going to look like. You didn't know like anything you didn't know all those things when you started. And then looking at like, what do I really want now? And being careful about looking to externally. So looking at your peers, looking at the experts that are telling you what you should want and what you should be doing in your business, and all of those shoulds, and really sit down and look at, okay, what do I want? What do I want my who do I want to be working with? What do I want to be doing? You know, maybe what gave you joy before doesn't really give you as much joy now. And start to flesh out what that looks like. That was my breakthrough. Because I did not realize how much I had been ignoring and just tolerating, because I felt like that was what I needed to be doing.
Yeah, I think we do that. And there's like a whole group of entrepreneurs that I feel like are the six-figure self-employed entrepreneurs. So, you know, you don't answer to anybody else, but you are really employed by yourself. Your business owns you, and there's no escape hatch. What are some of the key things that change when people go from being in that state of plateau? And frankly, I think for most people, it's a state of overwhelm. You're just in reaction mode at all times, to having sort of mm-hmm. a self-operating business where you can start to extract yourself a little bit more. You can achieve a little bit more of that balance.
Yeah. So the difference is that you're in command. So instead of, you talked about reaction mode, and that's really what happens from a startup. You are constantly reacting because you're learning what you don't know. It's like you're always in a state of, I don't know what I don't know. And then you learn it, and that's one more hurdle to solve. So you're constantly kind of solving the next problem. And then when you become more established and the revenue stream might not be the problem, then it becomes, okay, I need to, you know, I need more time to focus on other things, or I need to start offering more leveraged programs versus working one-on-one or always doing things that are done for you. And it's still a reaction mode. It's still a, how can I get out of the situation that I'm in? And, you know, what do I want to create? But then that just creates another problem. So with my clients, we step back and we create a plan that's kind of like 9 months to a year out, and then we reverse engineer it. And what this does is it gives you that like end point that is the ideal. This is, you know, resonates with me on a soul level. This is what I need, not what everyone else is saying I should have or do. And then you kind of move the pieces into place. So it's like now you're in control, and you're moving the pieces into place to make that happen, versus constantly like putting out this fire and then the next one and the next one and the next one. And every quarter we go back to the plan and we look at, you know, what worked, what didn't work, what can I improve, what am I going to do in the next quarter? So it's always, you're taking always a holistic view versus looking at one problem at a time. And I would say that that's one of the biggest mistakes entrepreneurs make, is that they look at one piece of their business at a time. So maybe they're focusing on marketing. Then they're focusing on, oh, I need to get clients, so I need to do a launch, or I need to up my sales game, or, you know, now I need to change my offers because what I'm offering now is just draining me. Instead of looking at, okay, what does this look like from a holistic perspective to create the outcome that I want? What needs to change in my marketing, my business model, and you know, how I'm creating leverage and that kind of thing.
What kind of model do you find actually enables people to get out of this state of plateau? Because I suspect you are changing the model of what people are delivering.
Actually, no. There's no right one right model. It really depends on the person. But what I found is that usually the models where you start, that's like where people's vision lies, is mm-hmm. in their ideal business model. So they want to work with a particular type of client. They want to be doing fulfilling work, and they want to be delivering it in a time that allows them to do other things. So that's like the model where they're setting goals. From there, what actually changes is their messaging. So we look at their brand to see, are we attracting those people? So if you're going to raise your prices because you want to have a boutique model and you don't necessarily want to be in groups or offering, you know, really leveraged, no hands-on offers. But let's say you want it, like, let's go the contrarian. I want to stay one-on-one. And so you start building a boutique model where you're charging high-end prices. Were you going to say something? Sorry.
Nope. I'm listening.
Nope. Okay. The next step is, okay, looking at your messaging as to maybe why you're not attracting the people that can afford those prices or that need that offer. Or making sure that you're positioning yourself in a way that elevates you to the level of authority that you have that boutique business, and you're kind of putting that message out there so that it feeds that business model. And then you look at your sales and marketing. Am I marketing myself in the appropriate ways, the appropriate places? Am I delivering the message in the appropriate way in order to achieve that business model? So that's why there's like, it's not only about creating leverage in the way that people think of it. It's really about deciding what do you want and then making sure everything else aligns with creating that.
Is that a common feature you find with people who are hitting that plateau is their ongoing commitments, maybe not the right word, but inclusion of strategic planning and visioning around their life in a three-dimensional way. And I guess where I'm coming from that is as a clinician, I work with entrepreneurs in our practice. And what I find is the ones who are sort of burnt out and kind of lost in the overwhelm, it's partly there's a lack of clarity around their purpose. Like, I mean, their purpose in life. And they've always just reacted. They're like, my purpose in life is to achieve. I'm like, but why? And they're like, oh gosh, no one ever asked me that. And the second piece is I just find there's a lot of them don't have the space to continuously come back and revisit that bigger vision for their life. It's like, here's my vision for my business, and the rest of my life has to fit into that. I see that from a clinician lens. So I'm really curious from like a business strategist perspective, if those are some of the features that you're seeing as well.
Yes, definitely that. And I also see that people actually struggle with creating the year out plan because they're so stuck looking at month to month to month that they can't even think that far out. They're just looking at what are my priorities right now? And, you know, those priorities might change a month from now when I've achieved when I've completed these projects. So I can't even look that far out. But what happens is you bite off so much more than you can chew in the short term, and you never actually follow through with it as much as you would like, or you're doing things now that affect things later and you have to kind of come back and redo them. Like when you find someone that's like just constantly redoing their website, that's usually what's going on. It's like they did some things on their website to serve them in the here and now, but then, you know, a few months down the road, it's no longer them. They weren't thinking ahead far enough. So that's actually a conversation I have with clients. It's very hard for them to wrap their head around that. So the way we kind of look at it is, yes, we're looking a year out. If we do it sooner, great. But keep in mind that if you want to take some of the pressure off of yourself and start relieving some of that stress and have things be easier for you, then we can work at a pace that's a little bit more comfortable and take on what's manageable in the time you have. This was like, gosh, this was the hardest thing for me because I am like, I want everything done yesterday. I am pretty type A, like it needs to be perfect. And slowing down and realizing, okay, like I don't actually have to have this all done yesterday. It's going to have a better effect if I, you know, let myself ease into it, warm up my audience to whatever I'm creating first. Like there's so many other things that I could be doing that would make the impact of the project I'm working on more effective and serve me in the longer term if I would just take a second to think about it.
They say that you are the product of the five people with whom you spend the most time. Imagine you could spend time with hundreds of fellow entrepreneurs and go-getters looking to uplevel their business, body, and mindset. The Entrepology Collective does not belong to us. It belongs to you. Come hang out with us on Facebook and let us collectively inspire, support, and cheerlead you towards your vision for contribution, your commitment towards better health, and your journey of mindset mastery. We are in this together. We are entrepreneurs by birth, by choice, and by mission. We are the Entrepology Collective. Search for us on Facebook and come join your tribe. Yeah, I think that is really key advice. And I found that the hardest. So I have three kids, and I found the hardest thing was going from the pace that I had without kids. It's interesting because I had this conversation I was at my high school reunion last weekend, and I was talking to this man I'd gone to school with, and he was saying how he found going from one to two kids really hard. And we had a conversation around this because I realized so many fathers talk about 1 to 2 being hard. For me, as someone mm-hmm. who is an entrepreneur, I found 0 to 1 the hardest because I mm-hmm. everything came to a screeching halt. And he said the same thing for him. When he went from 1 to 2, suddenly he had to take the overflow of kids. I thought it's so interesting because
That is really interesting. It's so true.
And I never thought about it. I was like, oh, okay. But it really... it reorients. And now I view my kids as my secret weapon because I have to be so efficient. Like there's no room for navigating Facebook and hanging out on CNN. It's like you've got to execute.
We're spending weeks making a decision. Like, right. I feel like I'm the decision ninja now.
Yeah. So like there's some real advantages, but does it ever take a little bit of time to get there? Maybe that's just what everyone needs to do. They just need to have like multiple children to hone their business. I don't even remember what my question is anymore, but I was like, it was a turning point, right?
On that, because I think what you're talking about is such a critical moment of basically being taken out of the game. Basically, like, you can no longer play the way you have been. And it takes something like having a kid or having a family member get terminally ill mm-hmm. or having something really traumatic. And I don't want to say kids are being traumatic, but it's a big change. And those kinds of things are where entrepreneurs who really have been nose to the grindstone for so long take a step back and reassess. And that's where they're like, I don't know if this is my purpose. I don't know if this is really what I'm meant to be doing. I've been missing out on so much life. Mm-hmm. Like, I really need to reassess what I'm doing. Like, that is like, that's my happy place with people. I know it sounds terrible, but like that kind of epiphany, that need to change, is so critical.
Well, ultimately it speaks to all the things that actually matter. It's you know, our businesses are great, and I'm sure for so many of us the work that we do like legitimately changes lives, but a huge part of this life experience is the people we get to experience with, and the places we get to go, and the memories we get to make, and the way that we show up for our inner circle. And I agree with you, sometimes it takes this massive call to action to really recognize how much room you need to make in your life for all of those other things. Mm-hmm. And the coolest part, I think, about being an entrepreneur is that I get to dictate that ratio of time. But I feel like even me, I sometimes lose sight of when and where and how I'm supposed to be allocating myself. So I love that's a key component of what you address with people.
Yeah, absolutely.
I want to ask you too, because one of the challenges that I find with people, we're having this conversation, they're like, okay, well, this is all great, Megan and Holly, but I'm not at a place where I want to slow down, and I don't want to lose momentum, and I don't want, we tell ourselves all of these stories, and I get the exact same story when I talk to people about the idea of self-care. They're like, oh yeah, that's for everybody else, but not for me, because I'm on a mission. I would really love to get your perspective, because you've worked with this methodology clearly for an extended period of time. And you have something in your toolbox you call the perpetual growth model. And I'd really like to learn a bit more about this. Like, how do we continue to grow our business and expand our contribution while also navigating this idea of balance?
Yeah. So perpetual growth is actually about balance. It's about keeping your business aligned with your personal growth. So how do you navigate those business changes as your own needs change? So as you go from single to having a family, or go from the person you were when you started your business now to the much more experienced, much more skilled, change of values, change of beliefs in your business, and how do you bring those in? Because that, I feel, is where people fall out of balance, is that, like you said, they go into the reaction mode and they're just kind of just going through the motions and just solving the next problem and going like for the next goal and that kind of thing. And the perpetual growth model like takes into account like who you are, where you're at, and your mindset really underlies everything. So if you were to draw the perpetual growth model, I've actually already said what the piece is in it. You draw a Venn diagram with three circles, And in one circle would be business model, which is where, like I said, all goals start. Next would be brand. So how do we bring the brand into alignment with who you are now, what your message is, how you're presenting yourself? And then the last one is your sales and marketing. So how are you marketing yourself? Because that's another thing that people kind of fall into habits and they just kind of keep with the same strategies that have worked for them in the past. And eventually they stop working because they've outgrown it or their market's outgrown it. And those kinds of, they always need to be kept in alignment. In the very center where all of these overlap is mindset. Because if your mindset isn't where it needs to be, the rest of it's not going to work. You could have, you know, I'm going to raise my prices, but if your mindset is I am not worthy of these prices, or this people don't want what I have for this prices, it's not going to happen. No matter how good your branding is, no matter how good your sales funnel is, it's not going to happen. Branding. If you have mental blocks about putting yourself out there, or you're not really connected on a soul level to your message, your branding's just going to fall flat. Like anything you're saying out there is just, it's not going to have the ring of truth to it. It's not going to have the right energy behind it for people to respond. So like those are the kind of examples of how mindset can really affect all three of these things. And they all need to be in alignment if you're going to perpetually grow.
Yeah, it's amazing how often it is the mindset piece that is in fact the reason that people are held back in all areas. Like I have yet to find in the businesses that I work with, which is healthcare, anyone whose growth is held back by anything other than mindset. Like it always has to lead with that piece. And so how do you address that with your clients? Because I think we're all universally like, yeah, especially when we work with clients, we're like, yeah, it's the mindset piece. Where do you go with that? Like, how do you break through those limiting beliefs?
So usually they come up when we're creating plans. So they're the things that when I give you an idea and you come back with whatever the fear or the limiting belief is as to why you can't do that. And so that's usually how they show up for me. I'm not a mindset coach. I actually have a mindset coach.
And she teaches me a lot.
As we all should. And, but for me, it's really just those subtle cues that people don't realize they're saying, or they're talking about something there's just these like little trigger words, and I can't even like think of an example right now, but there's like these little trigger words that you realize that this is not a functional problem. You don't actually believe in this problem, or there's some kind of resistance problem, and kind of just talking through that, like what are you afraid is going to happen if you go down this route? Both good and bad. Like you'd be surprised at how many people are afraid of being successful. Like if they do this, they're going to be too busy.
Right.
And so my approach is kind of twofold. One is addressing it in the moment and helping you kind of, once you recognize it, often you can work through it, or helping support you as you work through it. And the other thing is, like my clients know that I have their backs. So no matter what happens, whether it's now you're way too successful and you don't know what to do with yourself, or, you know, this fear did come about and you know, someone booed you on a webinar or something like that, I can help them work through that, or, you know what to do next. Because that's often what keeps people stuck, is that they're not sure what comes next. And to think that far down the road is just way too overwhelming. And if I can hold that space for them, so I know, and I do, like I know when I'm working with a client, like I know the five different ways this can go and the five different things we're going to do if that happens. So they allow me to hold that space for them. And it kind of gives you a little bit of a safety net to step out into, you know, just trying some of these things that you might be afraid of, or you know, just elevating the fact that you can believe in yourself, because Holly believes in you, and Holly has like all the evidence to prove that you are everything you need to be in order to make this happen.
Yeah. And it's so critical. One, knowing someone is like in your corner, in your tribe, on your team. And I agree with you, this like this idea of knowing what comes next. I'm always amazed at how many people can build these really successful businesses and then they're truly like, I don't know what's coming next. Like it's just such a symptom of that reactionary state. And I just want to say two other things that came up as you were chatting there when we were talking about sort of the hallmarks of those mindset traps. I have found in some of the masterminds that I've been in, and those are the masterminds that I have to exit. But when someone is caught in language where they're saying, yeah, but like the yeah, butters, mm-hmm. even if they don't actually use that word, but that's they're just constantly challenging these ideas that really, frankly, enable freedom. I just can't be around mm-hmm. yeah, butters anymore. So that was one where I'm like, oh, they are so caught in the mindset of like hurried busyness. And the other one mm-hmm. I find is, and I see this clinically and I see this in people's businesses, is when people are like, this is really amazing, but we're in a unique situation. I find most of the time we are in a unique situation just means we are in a unique situation with our mindset where we're not yet open to new possibilities.
Right.
So those have all, and I say that partly because I have been in those situations myself. Where I'm like, this is really great. Yeah. But, and it's so easy to play devil's advocate. And I've also thought that my situation is entirely unique. And really what I learned in practice, seeing so many people, is that really we're all pretty much the same. We're just at different places mm-hmm. on that trajectory of experience. So those are just two things. Yeah, go ahead.
The yeah buts are really hard in a group, like in a mastermind, because then everyone starts, like it just creates a yeah but crescendo.
Yeah.
But in one-to-one, I actually find yeah buts kind of fun.
Okay, let's unpack that.
Because if you can get through everyone, like someone's, all their yeah buts.
Yes.
That's where they break through.
Yeah.
So if you can hold the space and just allow them to, because basically what it is they're processing and they haven't gotten as, they're not where you are yet. They're still in the weeds. They're still processing. And if you can help them get through each of the yeah buts and, you know, show them how, like the reality, and then they give you the next one and then they give you the next one and they give you the next one. And if you can work through that with someone in a very open way, they usually work themselves out into the mindset they need to be in.
Yeah, I really love that, because if you are in a space where you can start to unpack those pieces, it really is very, very transformational for people, but definitely a symptom. Like,
but in a group, it's very frustrating.
Yeah, it totally is. But if you were the yeah butter, like if you, like, I think sometimes it's helpful to just know what symptoms to look for yourself. If you're constantly in that state of yeah, but, or we're in a unique situation, mm-hmm. like sometimes that's just the pause you need to be like, huh, maybe there's another way. And I'm a firm believer that there's always another way out of any given situation. Holly, these are really incredible pieces of advice. If you were to give people just one thing that they could walk away from in terms of driving their awareness to whether or not they are approaching that plateau state, what is it that you would want them to draw their attention towards?
Let's play with the yeah buts a little bit. So if you have a goal or an idea or something you really want in your business, but you, as soon as you think of it, you go, yeah, but whatever. Yeah, but I don't have time for that. I, could not charge that. This isn't tangible enough for people to buy. So whatever those objections are that come up for you about why you can't do or have that, play with that and look at it from different angles and ask yourself, is that true? Have other people done it? What are some of the reasons why I could do it? Like, what are some ways I could get around whatever that challenge is? Because most of the time there's other avenues to accomplishing the same goal. And that's kind of why my clients love me, is like, I can give you 10 ways to skin a cat. Like, it doesn't matter what the problem is. We'll find a way that suits you to do it. And so write down all of that and journal on it. And see what comes up for you and just follow that line of thought until you get to what the reality is of what you're really dealing with and what the real objection is. And then that's the piece that you work on, because the reality is you can do, have, be whatever you want. Like the client, like people that are entrepreneurs, they're stinking rock stars. They have abilities that, you know, the regular folk just don't understand and couldn't just can't even wrap their heads around. So use that.
Hey, you, if you're a colleague, if you're a practitioner, if you are seeing patients, if you are looking to up-level your impact in the health and wellness space, I wanted to let you know that we are hosting one heck of an amazing event taking place on November 21, 22, 23 in Toronto. Impact Lives is our signature flagship event that takes place on an annual basis, and it is a coming together of some of the most impactful people in the health and wellness industry. Over the 3 days, we are unpacking the mindset that has been holding you back from achieving the impact you have always dreamed of. We are spending a day looking at new tactics and techniques, some of the things that people are using in a cutting edge capacity to take their impact and their practice to the next level. And if you want to join us for our VIP bonus day, we are going deep in a workshop setting, 6 different workshops to up-level your mindset, your business, and your impact. Impact Lives is an incredible experience. And our promise to you this year is that when you walk through the door, you will not be capable of leaving as the same person you were when you arrived. If you want to learn more about how you can participate in Impact Lives, check us out online, www.impactlivesevent.com. I cannot wait to see you there. Yeah, I love it. Such good advice and a perfect place to transition the interview. So I ask all my guests, I believe we have KPIs in our business, our key performance indicators, and I also think we have them in our lives. So I have a few rapid fire questions your way so we can get a little bit of insight in terms of who you are as a person and as an entrepreneur. Are you ready?
All right.
All right, let's do it. Who is inspiring you right now?
Who is inspiring me right now? By the way, I'm terrible with these kinds of questions because as soon as someone asks for an example, my mind goes, ah!
I know, I do that too.
So who have I read recently? You know what's really inspiring to me? It's not an actual person, but I read a lot of fantasy books.
Oh, amazing.
And I find that the heroes in those books they're usually who inspire me. And ever since I was a kid, I would, you know, the heroes... the obstacles that they would go through and the things that they, you know, could overcome and still be like the leader that you'd want to be. Those are the kinds of people, those stories are what inspire me. And that's actually, I base a lot of who I am as a person and a leader on some of the characters in books.
I think that's amazing because it's the hero's journey, right? And have you seen the documentary / film? Now I'm going to draw a blank. Finding Joe.
No, I haven't.
So Finding Joe is all about that. It's about the hero's journey, and it has a particular lens for entrepreneurs. And anyway, you can find it. Patrick Solomon is the director and producer. He's in California. He's amazing. But it's a really cool story about that. Everyone's probably interested in that. We'll see if we can throw it into the show notes.
Yeah, but I'll look it up.
Yeah, I love that you described that. What is the one thing you're most consistent with respect to your health?
With my health?
Yeah.
Eating ice cream. That's probably not what you're looking for.
No, I'm just kidding. It's good for the soul. Ice cream's good for the soul.
It is good for the soul. No, I cook every single night. So I, you know, we buy organic. I cook clean food for the family. And that has been, it's both a, you know, just to be healthy, especially with all the health issues I was having, like that was kind of one of my ways out. And I feel like it's also just a relaxing way to give love to my family, to kind of take a step back from the day. And it's the time that my kids know, like, just leave mom alone.
Exactly. I love that. But whole real foods, right? It's so key and critical. What is something totally badass about you that people would not otherwise know?
I have a lot of like really weird things about me. So what is something totally badass? I was a competitive gymnast. I worked on a farm in college, get up at 3 a.m. and milk cows.
Whoa.
And then go to class at 7. I have I have a very strange, that's probably the most badass thing about me is that I just have a collection of very strange stories
<That's>
of just
so
doing
great.
Things that, you know, were that probably lead into entrepreneurship and being able to like do things that other people don't normally do, but also just kind of make me fun.
Amazing. So what do you do now for fun or play?
Right now that's severely limited because of kids, but I do love to travel. My husband and I try to go away every couple of months. We're going to Denver at the end of this month, even just for a weekend, and just having that connection time, being able to see a new city. We always seek out, you know, the places on TV that you see that are in those cities, like Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
That's awesome.
And just kind of exploring the world through that way. And I can't wait for the kids to be old enough to do those things too. Right now, put them on a plane and you're in misery for a few hours.
Right. There's a distinct window where it is just not worth the effort. Last question for you, Holly. Entrepreneurism, are we born this way or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
Ooh, good question. I was born this way. And I feel like a lot of my entrepreneur friends were born this way. However, I don't think that, you know, I think that it's something that people can learn. However, I personally enjoy the people that are just naturally entrepreneurial.
Yeah, there's an ease to the decisions and the strategies and the action. I totally agree. Holly, you've had such great advice and such an interesting perspective. Where can we send people to learn a little bit more about what you're up to?
So I actually have a quiz that kind of help people figure out some of the things we've been talking about, like what your blind spots might be, and where on their perpetual growth model, like what's blocking you. So if you're in a place where you know there needs to be a change in your business, or you're not really sure what comes next, and you're not sure what's blocking you from getting there, if you go to growthblindspot.com, there's a quiz there that will help you pinpoint like exactly what's going on.
I love it. And we'll hook everybody up in our show notes. Holly Chantel, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. This was a lot of fun.
Well, that was fun, wasn't it? Guys, I love hanging out and carrying on these conversations. I love shifting perspectives. I love being challenged to do it a different way. And this is what we talk about over in our Facebook group called the Entrepology Collective. This is where women like you who are looking to leave their mark on this world explore the ideas that come up in our podcast. We look at how we can level up on our lives. And most importantly, we look at how we can support one another in doing just that. If you want to hang out with more people like you, more people who value the things that we value, I encourage you to hang on over or head on over to Facebook, look up Entrepology Collective. You'll find all of us there. Come hang out in our little group. And if you enjoyed today's episode, I would love to hear from you. Head on over to Apple Podcasts, leave us a quick review. It makes such a difference in our ability to reach more people. Guys, you are incredible. You inspire me every week. I love hearing from you, the messages that you guys send and share about how the podcast is really changing and influencing your life and business mean the world to me. Keep those coming. Thank you so much. And until next week, go and build something incredible.